77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly Show, right here on WABC. Indeed, we are the crown jewel of American radio. This is where it happens. Today we have a busy program. Of course, it's Friday. You know, that means it's Jen's List. Things that you can do around the city before the weekend comes to an end. And we are supposed to have, the clouds will hopefully disappear, and we'll have a glorious weekend. And enjoy these weekends while you can, because you know, before you know it, the leaves will be gone. The cold weather will be moving in. It will be winter all too soon. An Indian summer never stays around long enough, does it? If you'd like to join us on the program today, 800-848-WABC is the number to call, 800-848-WABC. Of course, Mark Milley is still in the news. There are new disclosures today on how he, according to the Washington Post, tried to check Trump. Now, just the headline of that should tell you that something is amiss. How General Mark A. Milley tried to check Trump. How a military general tried to check his commander-in-chief. As if he has check and balance over the President of the United States. The full headline from the Washington Post says, new disclosures show how General Mark A. Milley tried to check Trump. They could also further politicize the military. And, the latest expose comes in a book. Of course, the one that broke the story from Washington Post journalist Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, and we use the term generously, journalist. Because, and Joe Concha, our good friend over at the Hill, raised this point. Here's what he said. Should reporters Woodward Costa have sat on Milley Trump bombshell for months? And he's absolutely right. This was news, but they saved the news. You know, Rush used to talk about this a lot, how journalists used to save important news stories so that they could sell books instead of reporting the news as it happens in real time. And Joe Concha has taken up that today. We are also going to talk border. We have coming up after our first break, hopefully, our man at the border. Well, he's not our man. He's an amazing scholar and intellect, national security senior fellow for the Center for Immigration Studies, Todd Bensman, and he is at the border, where, if you haven't been following the news, we have yet another wave of border crisis, over 10,000 this morning. I spoke to Todd this morning, and there were over 10,000 immigrants underneath a bridge there. Pictures were coming out from underneath the border until the Biden FAA disallowed drones over the area, so that news reports couldn't carry pictures of the increasing crisis down at our southern border. We will be speaking with Todd, hopefully in a few minutes, about what is at the border. He is there. When I spoke to him, he was crossing the international bridge. He was on the international bridge, heading over to the Mexico side. Perhaps he is at the Mexico side or will be there shortly. Milley has said, and he spoke today for the first time about this scandal that just the usual line, I didn't do anything wrong. Not me. No, 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 not me. He said what he did was perfectly within the scope of his job. And he is due to testify before the Senate, I believe. It's the Senate, not the House. He is due to testify next week. And that ought to be interesting. He's saying he's going to spend time. This is what he said. I think it's best that I reserve my comments on the record until I do that in front of lawmakers who have lawful responsibility to oversee U.S. military. He says he will go into any level of detail Congress wants to go into in a couple of weeks. It's 2 weeks. Well, let's go into detail of how you told the Chinese, reportedly, that you would warn them of an attack. And I know Republicans on that committee are going to bring that up. Karl Rove is suggesting that we have caution, or just he's urging caution on the claims about what General Milley has done, undermining President Trump and revealing or promising to reveal to China in advance if we were going to attack. The attack, of course, was never, ever under consideration. This is just made up stuff from Nancy Pelosi and the general, and maybe Gina Haspel from the CIA. Rove says, if true, it could be wrong, but he's learned long ago to distrust Bob Woodward. I learned a long time ago not to believe everything Bob Woodward writes in his book, because Woodward has proven to be inaccurate. And that's a wise warning. If you want to talk about Milley, we are more than happy to do that today. Before we go to our break, before we go to the borders, I want to talk about what is going on in New York City, right here in our town, New York. Yesterday, if you were with us, you heard our James Golden clip of the day. It was a man who had been denied food, he and his family, at a Brooklyn pizzeria. I declined to name the pizzeria yesterday. I'm not going to do it today. I don't want to inflame anyone. But this was at a Brooklyn pizzeria, and this guy went off. The story was in BizPack Review yesterday. They were denied food for not having their vaccine card. And he pretty much said he had a religious objection to it, which is supposed to allow him to still eat in places without a vaccine card, according to the rules set forth in the city by Emperor de Blasio. But he was denied. There is a story today by the Associated Press, and you can find this story also on other outlets, that a hostess over at Carmine's on the Upper West Side was attacked yesterday by three women who were later arrested on charges of misdemeanor assault and criminal mischief. They were here from Texas. They were tourists. And the woman was attacked after she asked them to produce their cards. Show me your papers. Show me your vaccine card so that she could be seated. This led to a confrontation, and the hostess was assaulted. Now, obviously, folks, there is no way to justify assaulting a person doing their job, like the job or not. She's doing the job that she was entrusted to do, to enforce this insane policy. And she should not, under any circumstances, have been assaulted for doing that. Another story, New York Post, I believe. Yeah, it is the New York Post. The New York Post sent out their own squad of undercovers. And what they found, headline says, 11 of 15 New York City restaurants not enforcing vaccine mandate. Most of the 15 restaurants visited by undercover sleuths this week were not enforcing Mayor Bill de Blasio's citywide COVID-19 vaccine mandate for people dining inside. Only four of the 15 restaurants that the New York Post undercovers visited asked reporters for IDs along with a proof of vaccination before seating them. I mean, just the very thought of that. Show me your ID. I mean, think about that for a minute, folks, please. The Democrat Party, Bill de Blasio's party, fights tooth and nail against people showing their identification when they vote. They don't want voter ID. This is one of the big things that they say. Republicans are racist for even asking people to show legitimate ID when they vote. Yet, these liberals, these progressives, these socialists are now asking private business owners to enforce a law where these private business owners have to ask citizens to show their identification and show a COVID vaccination card before they can be seated. And in the case of this Brooklyn pizzeria, if you say, I follow the law and I have asked for a religious exemption from this, they're still denied seating. What is wrong with this picture? I think everything. And I think that I tweeted something the other day, and it kind of took off unexpectedly. And the essence of the tweet was that, listen, I hope that people remember how they're being treated right now. The other day, there was a woman thrown off of an American Airlines flight with her infant, her toddler. The toddler was having an asthma attack and was not wearing the mask. She tried to mask the baby. The baby's like, no way. The baby was suffering with asthma. They threw this woman off the plane. They diverted the plane back to the airport, had everybody disembark, threw this lady off the plane and her baby because she couldn't keep a mask on her toddler who was having an asthma attack. This is what American Airlines did. American Airlines did this to one of their paying customers. And then you have this incident at this Brooklyn pizzeria. And so one of the things that I said is, look, I hope that many Americans will remember how they are being treated, because one day COVID will be gone. COVID will be a memory. The pandemic somehow or another will be over. And many of these businesses are going to be running ads and all kind of promotions to expand their customer base. And those of you who have been mistreated by these businesses for choosing to act as free citizens of this great republic, I hope you remember how you were treated. James Golden, WABC, Talk Radio 77, a.k.a. Bo Snerdy. We're coming back. We're going to talk immigration and what's going on at our southern borders after this.
Bo Joe knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
WABC Talk Radio 77 New York. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you. It is Friday in our glorious city. And right now we turn our attention to the southern borders of the United States. We have on the phone with us Todd Bensman, who is with the Center for Immigration Studies. Welcome, Todd. How are you?
Hey, me.
Can you hear us, Todd? Are you there at the border?
Yes.
Yes, there you are.
Yes, so, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I am on the Mexican side of the border right now, so but I should have good communications.
It sounds good. Now, Todd, we spoke earlier this morning. Tell us first, before we even talk about exactly what's happening there, what the Center for Immigration Studies is all about, so people know how to put what you are doing at the border in context.
Sure. The Center for Immigration Studies is a public policy institute where fellows think about deeply immigration policy, write, produce reports, research about immigration policy as a means to educate the public and policymakers. The center takes a stance that less immigration is more, and is pro-enforcement of immigration laws.
Excellent. Now, you are at the borders. Tell us what is happening right now. You were on the American side of the border this morning, and right now you're on the Mexican side of our border. What is going on at our southern border?
That's right. Well, something unusual is happening right now with the border in the Del Rio, Texas area, which is a new sort of epicenter developing in that a very large influx of Haitians, Cubans, Africans, non-Central Americans, non-Mexicans have suddenly showed up and crossed the border into Del Rio, where they are forming a large camp, an encampment there, because there are so many that they cannot be processed properly. And so they are setting up like kind of a little village there. And the administration is processing them slowly into the United States on temporary legal documents. But it takes a long time, and there are so many that have come that it looks like these folks will be under that bridge and for at least another 3 weeks or 4 weeks or even longer, depending how many keep coming, but they are still coming.
Now, on Sunday, there were 2,000 immigrants. By Wednesday, this is from a story that you published on the Center for Immigration Studies website, that's cis.org, and you say on Sunday there were 2,000, I'm sorry, it started with 2,000, on Sunday, 6,000, Wednesday of this week, 8,000, Thursday morning, and then 10,000. How many do you estimate are there now? Do you know?
I don't know what it is today because I decided to go to the Mexican side. The administration has cut off all media access and interviews about this situation. And so I felt like the only way to actually figure out why these people were coming in such large numbers now at this spot at the border, I had to co-interview the actual immigrants themselves. So I don't know how many are over there, but I was on the side of the river where they were going into the river and across, and you could see them just nonstop, huge numbers. Just I can't even explain them. Just hundreds and hundreds in a long line of people through the town of Acuña, Ciudad Acuña. This is where they're arriving by bus, six, seven buses every few hours.
By bus?
Immigrants. They're bussing up from the south of Mexico. And then they're crossing at Del Rio. And that's how it's working, yeah. Yes, bypass mostly.
Have you talked to any of these people that are trying to gain access, that are here now trying to get into, get legal documents to come in? Have you been able to talk with any of them?
Dozens of them, all day today.
And what are they telling you, Todd?
Just, in fact, just before you called, I just finished interviewing another one at the restaurant that I'm at. What they're saying is that the Mexicans have them bottled up in the very southern part of Mexico. They would not let them pass. The Mexican National Guard is there at the Biden administration request to try to get a handle on the mass immigration that's happening. And so they've been bottled up in a very large numbers down there. And suddenly on Sunday of last week, the Mexican government said, you can all leave. You're free to go. We'll let you just go. And they let everybody that they've been bottling up go. And they went. And so they're still coming. Some of the immigrants are telling me that the Mexican free pass was only for 3 days. And then they were going to shut the gate back down after 3 days, which would be Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. They let the flood open. They opened the floodgate there. And I can't tell whether the Mexicans have shut the gate back down, but there are still huge numbers of non-Mexican, non-Central American immigrants down in the southern part of Mexico. And they're coming through Panama. They're coming from South America through the Panamanian Darien Gap, through Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, and all the way up through Mexico. It's a very long journey. These people, I met an Angolan this morning who told me his story, and he came in from Brazil when they heard that Biden had opened the border. They all said that they came now because they've been coming now because the Biden administration has opened the border to them and letting anybody who shows up there through. And so they're all coming. And this Angolan told me that I asked, are there other Africans here? And he says, oh, yeah. And he's named a dozen different countries in Africa. Also, all of these people are here at the Del Rio camp.
Now, what are the conditions that these people are living under that bridge, especially since the government has now banned drones from taking photos of them? They don't want the American people to know what's going on there. You're there. Can you tell us what kind of conditions these people are living in while they wait to try to get in this, while they're in the country, while they wait to get processed?
That's right. Well, the region, the area, is a lot of open ground and trees and vegetation. And so there's just a tremendous amount of garbage. That's the first thing I noticed. Piles and piles of just trash and garbage everywhere. I did notice today that the government brought in some big trash bins, you know, the big industrial size ones, so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And they're also bringing in water, there are lots of porta potties. There's probably a sufficient number of porta potties that I saw, which is a good thing. You know, you don't want cholera outbreaks. You know, people are living in very primitive camping kind of conditions. They're building their own structures out of trees and bits of lumber and whatever they can find. They're putting tarps over it. They've got most of them are sleeping out in the open on blankets and pieces of cardboard, whatever they can sleep on, thousands and thousands. I mean, you could imagine like a typical kind of refugee camp in the third world or something where you just have a lot of people packed in together and just sleeping wherever they can, trying to build little shelters and kind of have some privacy. These people will be here long enough that, you know, they're going to have like a little settlement looking, you know, shanties, everywhere that people can start to build.
That's unbelievable.
It's 3 or 4 weeks before they can clear everybody, process them out. And certainly the way they're doing it is you come in, the Border Patrol is right there. They're just kind of looking at their cell phones. Nobody's doing anything. They're just allowed to come in and leave. and come back and leave, and it's a wide open corridor for leaving and coming at that spot on the river. And so the folks come in and they're given a ticket, like a that you would get at a carnival or at a raffle, little raffle tickets, and they're numbered, and that's their number. They have to wait until that number is called, and then they'll be released into the United States.
So how long are you? These tickets. Yeah, Todd, how long are you planning on staying down at the border area?
You know, I'll probably be here another couple of days, and you know, I'll leave and I'll come back. I live in Austin, Texas, so I come down here pretty often. It's not that far.
Okay, time's up for us right now, but I want to check back with you early next week or maybe even tomorrow and see what else you can add to this. And we want to stay with you as long as possible so that you can keep American citizens up to speed with what the administration refuses to tell them. The administration has now blocked drones from taking pictures there. You're on the ground there, and we thank you so much, Todd, for letting us know what is going on at our border.
Yes, sir. Happy to do it. That's what we do. And you can find my reporting and video at CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies.org. We've got a big package up right now from yesterday, and I was up late putting it together with our staff. And there'll be another one tomorrow from my time here at the Mexican border. I've already kind of given you a hint about what's going to be in that. But there'll be lots of video from the ground on the Mexican side.
Wonderful.
I'm still going to be here probably till dark tonight.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Todd, and we will be back in touch. Thank you so much for letting us know what's going on at our border. We will be back in touch. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, with you here on WABC Talk Radio 77. We're coming back after this.
Now, here's the soul of excellence, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC.
That's right, my friends. It's Friday. Friday night in the city coming up. And you know, while you're out hanging out tonight in the city, especially if you don't have your vaccine card and you can't get seated anywhere, keep WABC's app with you. My good friend Rita Cosby's coming up tonight at 11. You call in to Rita, tell her I said hey. And at midnight, Dominic Carter starts your weekend on Saturday. Later, of course, we'll have Cousin Brucey tomorrow night. I'm here tomorrow, 8 to 10 in the morning. Please be here for that. Juliet Huddy is here on Sunday, as well as Dominic Carter again. He's working, man. He's working hard. Okay. So keep that WABC app with you and wrap up your weekend with the greatest music ever made by the chairman of the board. You know who that is, Mr. Frank Sinatra. It's Ramsey Mazda Sunday with Sinatra, starring Joe Piscopo. 3 solid hours of the best Sinatra music. It starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday night on Music Radio 77 WABC. Rich, what time is it?
James, good afternoon. It is time for your clip of the day.
This is the James Golden Clip of the Day.
I don't know how many times we've got to learn this lesson, but it would be far better if people are serving in the government not to be talking to the media about things that are going on in the government, particularly such sensitive things as we're dealing with here, because they have a tendency to get completely out of context, as we're seeing here.
Is Jen in there, Rich? Is Jen hanging
around?
Yes,
Jen is right here next to me.
Jen, explain that quote to people. Who the hell was that?
James.
Yes.
James just had to step out. That was General Jack Keane from his interview on Fox the other day talking about General Milley.
Play that again.
Sure.
I don't know how many times we've got to learn this lesson, but it would be far better if people are serving in the government not to be talking to the media about things that are going on in the government, particularly such
sensitive things. Stop right there. This guy is saying, I don't know how many times we've got to learn this lesson, but it would be great if people in the government don't talk about what we're doing. Keep the American people in the dark, is what he's saying. Don't let the American people know what we're doing here. Oh, gosh. Rich, and we have to go to phones.
Right.
Where are we going?
James, let's...
These people, Rich, I'm telling you, there's some days I come so close to saying words I shouldn't say.
I know. You keep it cool. You do a great job at that, I have to tell you.
Trying, thank you.
Well, let's start with Lisa in Bergen County.
Hello, Lisa, in my favorite county in New Jersey, Bergen County. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thank you for giving me a minute. All week we've been listening to this General Milley China stuff going on. And there's a really important part of this that nobody seems to have noticed, which is why would somebody think that China would be doing something such as retaliating? Why would anybody think China would think Trump would want to retaliate against them? What was China doing that some number of people obviously knew was going on and were concerned, gee, Trump's going to know what you're doing. He may do something about it.
Well, Lisa, do you have an answer for that question? Because I've been talking about that very point on many of the shows this week. Do you know what was going on?
I think you need to look at different dates and see what was happening.
I'll tell you. You're brilliant. You raised the point that Lisa, you know what? Here's how brilliant you are. Most of the mainstream media is not raising the point that you, sitting in Bergen County or standing, spotting or kneeling, whatever you're doing in Bergen County, but no one's raised the point that you raised. And this is a great point. What was happening? I'm going to give you the quick skinny in about 30 seconds. Here's what happened. China told America to get the hell out of the South China Sea. We were doing military exercises there. And Donald Trump, President Trump, didn't put his tail between his legs and say, okay, like so many other elected officials do when China tells them to do something. He was like, oh, hell no, we're not going to stop. And that's what our General Milley was concerned about. Because China told us to get the hell out. Trump wasn't getting the hell out. And so you had the election going on, and these tensions were going on, and Milley somehow makes it up in his own mind, he and Pelosi, that Trump's going to start a war over this, and so he has to undermine Trump. Your question is brilliant, Lisa. Where are we going, Rich?
James, let's say hi to Ernest in Rockland County.
Hello, Ernest. Welcome, WABC Talk Radio 77. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Golden, thank you, sir. You're such a gentleman, and you have such a great perspective on things. I truly appreciate it. Sir, there's federal law that is just a code, and people can cite this, and there's two of them, one pertaining to the vaccine and one to the immigrant, these unlawful people that are coming here. And it's 18 U.S.C. 2725. And if you write that down or just punch it into your phone right now, that's federal law. And that says your medical information is highly confidential.
Your business.
Mm-hmm. Sir, that's a federal law. So that has to be printed
out. That's right.
You carry it with you. And then, sir, what needs to happen is this. We need to counteract. These are attacks on our constitutional rights. So we have to counteract that with lawsuit. We will make so much money enforcing federal law. And remember, taxpayers can cite federal law. So that's 18 U.S.C. 2725. And it's called definitions.
Ernest, you are brilliant. I love my callers here. And this is why. Ernest, you're dead on right. And thank you for the call. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome to the Golden Age of Radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
WABC, the station you love, the station you grew up with, the station your kids should grow up with, too. The crown jewel of American radio. That's right. It is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerley. Rich, what time is it?
Oh, James, I'm excited. It is time for Jen's List.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerley, presents It's Friday. It's Jen's List.
All right, Jen, what's up this weekend in New York and surrounding territories?
So one of the biggest things I'm most excited about is Broadway reopened this week, and I bought a ticket for something next month, and I can't wait. So that's exciting. Wicked's back, Hamilton's back, Chicago's back, and more are coming in the coming months.
Nice.
Yeah.
What else you got on that list of yours, Jen?
The Feast of San Gennaro.
Yeah,
yes.
Baby.
It's one of my favorite things to
get
do.
Get me
in New
some
York.
Zeppelis.
Oh, yeah. See, everybody here has been to the Feast of San Gennaro, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you too, Rich, right?
Of course, love it.
Yeah.
I'm Italian.
So, Jen, when, what time?
So, it's running now and through the 26th of September. It's between Mulberry Street and Canal and Houston Streets. There's going to be a lot of festivals. There's going to be a cannoli eating contest. You're going to see some authentic music. I really like the stuffed clams that they have there. Those are my favorite. And then you get some good Italian ices. I'll stop for that. And I'm going to go one day this week, hopefully.
Yeah, leave the gun and take the cannoli.
Yeah, you think we can get Curtis to come down and try that cannoli eating contest? You think we should enter him?
I love that idea. That's a great idea, Rich. Jen, what else you have on the list?
So tomorrow, it's Free Museum Day in New York City.
Say what?
Free Museum Day.
Wait a minute, you said free.
I know. Everyone run and get your tickets. So you're only allowed to download one ticket per email address, so pick which museum you want to go to wisely. And yeah, it's happening all around the five boroughs, so if you haven't been to a museum and you're trying to check one of them out, go this weekend for free.
So you download the tickets from where?
You, most museums are participating. So if you go online and you search for your favorite museum, there will be like, it'll give you all the details. If you go like the MoMA.com or something, or the Natural History Museum, if you go onto their website, they'll have details about each individual one. And you put in your email address and the ticket goes right to that email address, and only one per customer. Sadly.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. What else?
And this is out of the city. I've actually been there. It's what, you know, the Long Islanders or the Cityers will call upstate New York, but it's really not upstate. It's in Tuxedo, New York, and it's the 44th anniversary of the New York Renaissance Fair.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I've been there with my family. It's amazing. There's a lot. You could get a turkey leg. You can see a live chess show. It's really a lot of fun if you're into the Renaissance. Even if you're not, everyone's in costumes. There's a lot of good food. It's really a lot of fun.
Wow. Jen, where do people reach you if they want to suggest something for Jen's List?
Go to Jen's List at WABCradio.com, JennsList@WABCradio.com.
You're amazing. Now, I sent you one from the New York Post.
You
this
did.
Week.
I know. I don't know if it's open yet. That's why I didn't talk
so
about it.
Yeah, so when you find out, I know when you find out when that thing is open, you have to tell people what that is. That thing is so cool, right?
I know. They have one, I know, in Chicago. Should we tell people what it is?
Nope. Just, okay. Nope. Let's keep them in suspense.
Yeah, it's not open yet, so that's why I didn't want to bring it up yet.
Okay. Jen, thank you. Jen's List. It's time for Rapid Phones as we wrap up our Friday show here. I will be back tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m. You have to join us here. WABC Talk Radio 77. Keep it here all weekend long. Where are we going, Rich?
James, let's start with George in the Bronx.
George from the Bronx. Welcome.
All right, Bo. It's great hearing from you and folks. 65 Immigration Act has got to go. That's the biggest recruiting tool for the hard left. Now, everyone's trying to figure out what VP Harris should be doing. Well, they got that bridge down the southern border. Thousands of people on the bridge. VP Harris could be a troll under that bridge. Go, Buchanan, go! Go.
Yeah, she'd be cackling down there. Where are we going next?
James, next we will go to John in Staten Island.
Hello, John, Staten Island. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. What's up?
Hey, Bo. Listen, I'm just going to make two quick points. First thing was the guys enforcing the stuff at the restaurants, let's also not forget that they're running the business that if they get screwed by a bozo, I mean, they got to pay $5,000. They could get shut down because of this stupid mayor. So they're
right.
Only following the rules from a dictator.
Right.
The main point I wanted to say is this guy, Millie, you know, he only got in charge last year. And if he's going to call the Chinese, communist Chinese, let's say, because it ain't the Chinese people, when they took over Hong Kong, when they go attack Taiwan, is the general's going to call up Milley to say they're going to attack Taiwan? This guy's a complete idiot. He's a psycho. Get him out.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Rich, where are we going next?
James, let's go to Pete. Now, Pete in Staten Island.
Oh, I love two calls from Staten Island. What's up, Pete?
Hi, James Golden. Nice to speak to you. I want to know with your permission, Frankie Morano is having a softball game out in Staten Island at Mount Loretta to benefit the Silla Foundation. I know you guys are big supporters of the Silla Foundation, so I'd like to get it out there. It's going to be 12 noon tomorrow at Mount Loretta.
You just did, and you're a perfect compliment for our Gens List. We like to let people know what's going on in the city. So I'm glad you called to tell people, and by this city, I mean Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. So if you guys know of something going on and you want other people to call, Fridays is your day. Call here and tell us, or get a hold of Jen at jenslist@wabc.com and let us know. That's what we're here for. This is one big happy, well, maybe not happy sometimes, but one big fun city. And that's what we love here at WABC. Where are we going next, Rich?
Let's go to Elliot in Brooklyn.
Hello, Elliot. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley. What's up?
Thank you, James. The caller who called about 2725 is 100% wrong. He's taking a snippet from definitions in the federal code, pertains only to releasing classified information, including medical records, contained in state driver's license data banks. Please don't go around citing it. You're going to be 100% wrong and look like a fool.
Thank you. Let me ask you a question about all this. I thought he was referring to the HIPAA law that says that your medical information is private. Do you want to comment on that quickly?
Yes, your medical professionals are prohibited by the HIPAA law from disclosing the information without your written permission to do so and who to do it to. Joe Q citizen can ask you and you can voluntarily tell them or refuse to tell them. That is not a crime.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that so much.
Have a great weekend. Thank
you. You too, my friend. Okay, we have time for one more. Where are we going, Rich?
Sure, let's say hi to Tommy in Morris Park.
Tommy, you're up last. Make it count. What's on your mind?
All right, I'm going to hit the grand slam and end it with this, folks. Because of open borders, every enemy has their people inside America. You have the 65 Immigration Act. You have a legal...
Well, he just hit that out of the park real quick. And so let me just comment on that real quickly. In Afghanistan, thank you, Joe Biden, we have news reports from townhall.com, Taliban decapitating children and hunting down U.S. collaborators. At our borders on the south, we have utter chaos. And we have massive spending underway. We have disillusionment now with our military. This country is suffering under Joe Biden. That said, we live in the greatest city in the world, New York City. We are supposed to have a glorious weekend weather-wise this weekend. So please, my fellow New Yorkers, Pennsylvanians, I don't know what you call the folks up in Connecticut, and Jerseyites, get out of the house. Go out. Enjoy this glorious, glorious place that we live. The greatest city in the world. In the greatest country that humanity has ever beheld. America. And have some fun this weekend. In spite of it all. James Golden. I'll be back tomorrow between 8 and 10 a.m. In the meantime, God love you. God bless you. God protect you. Bye.